Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 460 of the Mail Riot Podcast. I'm here with the amazing, fantastic, and generally outstanding Jonathan Dinwood, and we are talking about what are the alternative, well, okay, best video content ideas for realtors in 2025, and what are the alternative hot social media platforms for 2025? Are we doing dual subject today, John?
No, I just got the wrong thing. We're doing the hot social media platforms.
Awesome. Okay, so we're doing incredible social media platforms. And let me tell you, everybody, this is very rare, but John was ready to go. He was so ready to go. He actually messaged me an hour ago and asked me where I was. Yeah. And
where were you, Rob?
I was happily in the midst of a team meeting, training some of my people on video stuff. Anyway, so John, I have now ribbed you a little bit, and we've introduced you vaguely, but why don't you introduce yourself specifically to anybody who either doesn't know who you are or who wants to hear who you are for about the thousandth time.
All right. Thanks, Rob. I'm the joint founder of mail-right.com. We're a platform that allows you to advertise on Facebook and also provide a great-looking website. Back over to you, Rob.
All right. Well, for those who are new listeners, my name is Robert. I'm a founder of an inbound marketing company that focuses on real estate and SEO specifically. And for those that are returning visitors, you already know who I am, so I'm just going to gently, lovingly remind you, inboundrm.com is a great place to learn how to do all the things that are relevant for your business in the digital marketing space moving into 2025. All right, today we're going to start our stuff, John and I. We've got a beautiful topic prepared for you. It's alternative social media platforms in 2025. We mostly are covering the proliferation of people escaping the idea of Facebook and Threads and many other things. So obviously, this is a really, 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 really hot and charged topic. John, why did you choose it for our podcast?
I chose it for practical reasons. I think we've seen this over the last couple of years that on especially Facebook properties, Meta properties, the main two are Facebook and Instagram, that if you don't pay to play, you're not going to get much reach. And we've also seen the last couple of years, not only on Meta platforms, but on LinkedIn. And since Mr. Musk has bought Twitter, that if you have links in your posts, in your content, to drive traffic to your website, the reach of those posts have been dialed down considerably. So that methodology to drive traffic to your website has been diminished quite a bit. I think that's one of the beautiful things about YouTube is they don't have that policy. So that's another reason. So there's no point in producing great content for your website if you can't get traffic to it because nobody can read it or do something that you want them to do. So I think people are looking at alternative social media platforms that don't have these policies. And that's what our list is based on, Robert.
Got you. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have as strong of opinion as John does about most of these subjects. That is because that as a content producer and a person, I built the vast majority of my audience on three channels, Google Local, YouTube, and traditional search, which are the same three things that my company focuses on. That doesn't mean that these other channels aren't viable, aren't valid. The channel that I've done the best on personally, that just or organically, literally without much focusing on it, are Pinterest and LinkedIn. as to Mastodon and Threads and X and all those in the real moment, like micro blogging sites, they've always required too much time and energy to keep up with them for me to really be an expert of any kind. I have followers. I have thousands of followers on each of these platforms, but all I'm doing is sharing content from my website. So anyway, I do like one of the ones in your list. I'm really excited about it. We're going to talk about it when I get to it. But Blue Sky, I have literally no experience with this. I understand what it is, and I've seen it. Have you used it, John?
I've done a bit of work with it. I'm going to be using it a lot more. I'm not going to give up on Twitter. I won't call it X. I refuse to call it X. But I'm going to probably use both. Blue Sky, it was started by Jack Dorsey, who was the joint founder of Twitter. He invested quite a bit of money in it. He isn't controlling it anymore, but I still think he's invested in it. It's very similar to Twitter, but Twitter, before the present owner bought it, it has a much more open API, so you can do more with the data that you get from it, which Twitter, basically, they shut the door on using the data that you get from the platform. And it does have some really great elements to it. One thing that people got to understand, it is based on a open protocol. It's based on a protocol that's called AT. And why should you care? Well, it's very similar to podcasting. Podcasting's based on another protocol called RSS feeds. And this protocol that Blue Sky and another one that we're going to be talking about in this show, that means that if you ever want to leave Blue Sky and your built audience, as long as the other platform that you're moving to is also based on this AT protocol, it's going to be much easier to move from one platform to the other, which is quite attractive, because that's one of the problems of moving away from Twitter. People that have built quite a large audience, which is like me, I've got about 7,000 people that follow me on Twitter. That's a bit problematic. So it's growing. I think they've got about 30 million users now, which is quite good. It's still much smaller than Twitter and some of the Meta properties, but it's growing quite considerably. So, but the main thing is, when you post on Blue Sky and you have a link to your website and you are investing time in writing content, you won't be penalized having that link. You'll have as many natural people that show interest in the post. And this used to be similar to Twitter of 10 years ago. You could drive a lot more traffic through Twitter than you can now. So that's the main thing that really, I think, is relevant here. For it's a great driver of traffic to your website.
So I have little opinion about Blue Sky, strong opinions about Jack Dorsey. The idea of Jack and his many companies, because he's done Square, he's done Cash App, he's done Twitter, he's done many, many things. And Jack, I followed him. He's a really unusual and extraordinary personality inside the tech space. One of those founders who really just does things for the sake of doing them, is already wealthy beyond comprehension and doesn't typically pay that much attention to it. Is noted for his humble lifestyle, extreme exercise and eating habits. He's definitely got this idea, John. When I see him start stuff where the user's in control, like his point of sale stuff, his Cash App, his all the things that he has done have usually empowered users. Like even what you're talking about with Blue Sky, where you can move your account history from one place to the other. It's like the 1980s old school developers of old. He's one of those guys. I used to call those guys fuzzy logic people because my parents were one. They are people who are more focused on the idea of the internet as this great place that you can go and share ideas and share concepts and, you know, and help each other, open source kind of conversations, things like that. Jack is one of those guys. And I really love him for it. Doesn't mean anything personal. It, like, in the sense of the businesses that he runs, I don't use Cash App. I don't use Blue Sky. I don't use Square. Okay. And he probably has some others as well. I barely use Twitter. His ideas that he has aren't the ideas that I gravitated to. That does not mean they're brilliant ideas and that he himself isn't making interesting things. If any of you are looking for a place to go, I think that Blue Sky is a really great place to look at based on the knowledge alone that Jack is behind it. Because number one, nobody's going to buy this dude out. He's sold a couple things and I think he's learned to regret it. He sold Twitter. I think he regrets it. Because he's starting a competitor. Like and he could have probably done this whenever he wanted, John. Like for him, building out a second app of the same kind of type, probably not that complicated. All right, but let's move on. Because now we're talking about one that I do love. Pinterest. Okay, and then I have lots of experience with it. I have like 23,000 followers on my Pinterest account. Something like that. I don't actually know. I'm going to look right now.
Yeah, I'm going to do something with that this year. Because it's the same... It's the fundamental thing is what is Pinterest? Basically, it's visually based. You put images up. You can build, I forgot what the terminology, categories of different images. And you can share your links again and you're not going to be penalized. So it's another great platform for driving traffic to your website because, like I say, if you're going to invest money on content and you haven't got the money to utilize Facebook, Meta, or Google Ads, these alternative platforms you can use as a strategy to invest in content on your website and then drive traffic to it. So it's another, like Blue Sky, you won't get penalized for the links that you have when you pin something. So it's and I think they are still slowly growing and they get enough traffic. So it makes a difference. Back over to you, Rob.
Yeah. So, I have always loved Pinterest. I had a automated tool, which I'm trying to log in right now and realizing that it's not letting me log in. So it would appear that my automated tool that I used for so long is probably defunct. It'll appear that way. But what I'm going to say to you is that before it got defunct, that tool grew my audience from 0 to 18,000 followers. Most likely the reason it's defunct is eventually Pinterest realized that automated AI kind of tools were ruining their ecosphere and probably figured out a way to shut them down. But in the meantime, it worked very well for me in terms of what I was ultimately trying to do, which was create a following and get people to go back to the inbound REM website. Because here's an interesting thing about Pinterest, John. Still to this very day, one of the very, very, it's now run by a Google executive taken directly from the Google C-suite team. And the reason he went to Pinterest in the first place is that Pinterest is the only social platform that is image-based, that is popular, that allows communication between the platform and the search engines. What does that mean? That means that you can use Pinterest for SEO, for search engine optimization. Everything on here is readable, viewable. If you get an image that leads to 1,000 people going to your website, that means that you've got backlinking and traffic from a high domain authority, or a high authority domain, which essentially means that without question, Pinterest is the most valuable social media platform for SEO that is out there. Not even a close second.
I think you find that Blue Sky is similar. It allows Google to track it.
We will find out. I haven't seen anything about it so far, but I hope that that's the case. It wouldn't surprise me if that's the case, but Twitter was never like that, John. So we'll see if he decides to fix that with Blue Sky. But one way or the other, and if he does decide to fix that with Blue Sky, I will tell you all right now that I'll pay a hell of a lot more attention to it. Because when the search engines can read something, collecting data and understanding user behavior is the golden ticket in the information age, which is the age that we're in right now. So these guys that are blocking down and locking out their platforms and not allowing data to be transferred are only interested in you being on that platform and basically thriving and surviving there. I hate that mechanic, John. Always have, always will. That somebody's stealing all your information and not even bothering to give you all the value for it. They're saying, we're going to collect all that user data, but we're keeping it on the platform. Nobody else gets to see it but us. And we're going to use it directly to sell advertising back to you. So we're going to take your interesting conversations and then monetize them effectively. And if you give me something back, I don't mind. Twitter does a little bit. They can give you a lot back if you build an audience, but it requires so much work. Whereas with Google, it doesn't require nearly as much work. They proliferate your information everywhere and they give you a big return on it, in my opinion. But moving on, number three on the list is Mastodon. I've heard a lot about this. I have a lot of friends on it. I've done nothing with it. How about you?
I've chosen, it's probably going to be Blue Sky Mastodon. Basically, Mastodon uses the same protocol, this AT protocol, but it's more techie. You have to set up your own server. That doesn't mean you need a server, actual physical box, because you've got things like Dropbox and cloud servers, but you do need to set it up. And funny enough, with Blue Sky, you can set up your own server with Blue Sky, but they provided a hosted form of Blue Sky that just makes it easier for non-techies to use it. Where Mastodon, you just got to go through more loops to get it set up. But it does mean that you really do have ownership, and you have to join different Mastodon feeds. Mm-hmm. And it's just a little bit more clunky. I think they're based in Germany, the people, or Russia. I think the elephant is I can't pronounce his name, but I think the founder, one of the founders of it, is Russian. I don't think it's growing like Blue Sky, but that might change. So I think I added it because if you are trying to build an audience or a group and you can use it, it's the one that you have the most control over.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know much about Mastodon. Actually, I know next to nothing. And truth is, I'm probably, it's very low on my list of apps or tools to explore currently. I would be more interested in Blue Sky for sure. Mm. But we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we've got Reddit, Telegram, and Snapchat. We're going to have conversations about each one of these. I have a lot to say about Telegram. I've used Telegram. It's one of the few that I have. And I have very specific opinions about Telegram, about what's going on there. But we'll cover all of that when we come back. All right, stay tuned, everybody.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRite. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-write.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's episode number 460. Mike Fearless, absolutely fearless co-host, and I are talking about what are the hot social media platforms for 2025. And I think that if it was me, and I don't generally comment on this shit, but I'm going to say that I would probably go with a slightly, what's all the buzz about with these hot, you know, with social media platforms that aren't Facebook or something like that. I would change the name of the title because the way that people talk to me about this stuff is slightly different than the way the title is. Like, it's more like, I don't think that people, John, can really have a proper discussion about, let's say, bailing on Facebook. I can't just bail on Facebook.
Okay? No, I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying that I think unless you're going to, this is just my opinion, unless you're going to put money into it, I think as a medium to build audience and drive traffic to your website, unless you're going to cough up some money, I think Meta ain't going to play ball with you unless you're prepared to set up a Facebook group and invest time in that. But then, obviously, they've got a track record. They're always changing how things work on Facebook. So that's...
They are changing how things work, and they did just come off their most profitable year ever. Nobody's hurting. And Facebook has complete control over a certain piece of the market. And I know why they do. You can't just close, once you've got 10 years of conversation on a thing, you can't necessarily just close it down. It depends on who you are and what you're doing. But like, even on my personal account, John, I don't consider myself a social media guy, but I have generated on my personal account 1,700 followers who are not necessarily my friends. Now, it's not a very big number, but my profile identifies me as a digital creator. And I've gone through those 1,700 people. And like, I'll give you an example. I have a very, very famous photographer that follows me. And I don't know why. He must be interested in what I have to say. I'm not a photographer. I don't take that many pictures. But I think that he has similar social ideology thoughts as I do. And I'm not political or my thing, but I do talk about philosophy a lot, stuff like that. And so do I want to lose all those connections that could become something at some point? Probably not. Like, I've spent very casually 10 years building them. It would be crazy for me to stop. Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that you should do that. I just think that you might be best to diversify a bit. But there we go. Shall we go on to the next one then?
Oh, if we must. Reddit. So Reddit is a big one. I actually do use Reddit a lot, but I use it as an SEO tool. How do you use it, if at all?
Well, it's like all these. I think, you know, who would believe in 2024 that a kind of quasar forum network would come roaring back. But Google have decided, because of the world of AI, that to promote Reddit content highly. And it's a forum-based experience. It's various topics. You can set up your own topics. And it just gets a lot of... If I was trying to build influence in the area around real estate, like I say, I would look at Pinterest, I would look at Blue Sky, and I would definitely, in my quiver of social media platforms, I definitely would try and build a group or be part of a group that talked about real estate in a particular city area and post content. And you can also link content you got on your website, and it's definitely something I would look at if I was trying to build influence as somebody that knew something about property in my local area.
And I use Reddit for SEO exclusively. I every once in a while find myself on some Reddit threads because it's a good microblogging platform, and it's still a, like a fairly, it's like 4chan. It's a fairly organic environment. You can still find some interesting people saying some interesting things. What I really love Reddit for, though, John, is it has become one of the best SEO platforms that is out there because the links carry a lot of value. It's easy to get followers. Like, if anything, so Google's looking at a lot of user behavior to add value to, like, links and stuff like that. So now it's getting harder and harder and harder and harder to fool the search engines. You don't just have to have a link. It helps if the link has traffic coming through it. So now it's like if you want to make a valuable post on another platform and then that goes viral and then they send a whole bunch of traffic to your website, that is actually a great SEO tactic. Reddit is really good for that. So is Medium, but Reddit's better. All right, let's go on to Telegram.
Yes, oh. Telegram. Yes, developed by a couple of Russian, one Russian that became a French citizen. And I think he's still facing charges by the French government. I mean, all of that have been dropped, but I think he's got some problems with the French government. But it is very popular with a particular set. I've never used it. It has this group feature. And I just think in real estate, if you're trying to build influence, and there's a Telegraph group talking about property and that, and it's around your particular city, it could be something worthwhile joining once again to build influence in it.
I have seen this used for investors. I have never seen it used on the residential real estate wholesale set. Like I'm just going out there and trying to be an agent. I've never really seen it like for that. I've seen it in investor groups lots, crypto lots. It's a secure place to have conversations. And for some reason, it's been embraced by the business community more than, let's say, Discord and other tools that are similar in type. But Telegram has really been well used by certain business communities. And I love it for that. I do. Its feature is very similar to, there's another one out there that is also it's a secure place to have conversations.
Yeah, it's encrypted, isn't it? It's supposed not to be broken. Who knows how true that is, but it's supposed to be. There are things about using it that you've got to understand to make it truly encrypted. But but I think investor groups and certain people that are buying property, if you've got if you've got that group and you can join it, it might be worth the effort.
I like Telegram. I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to say if you haven't checked it out or if you haven't checked out some of the conversations happening there, it might be worth a perusal. And the first way that I would get into using it would be to find some interesting groups and join them and just see how people are leveraging the platform and decide whether or not it's for you or not. I didn't think I would appreciate it, but security-minded a surprising amount of people who are security minded, who are actually credible, go on Telegram. You also have a lot of scam artists. So as with all these platforms, you have to be careful. Of course, no platform carries as many scam artists on it as WhatsApp right now, but that's okay. All right.
Or Twitter or X.
Right. Snapchat.
Yeah. Well, it's still pretty big. It's the sleeping giant, really, of the two founders. They've done well out of it. It has this feature called Stories, and it's a bit like what you get on Instagram, but they only last for 24 hours and then they disappear. Does it really matter? A lot of social media, you get the initial pop and it's just gone, isn't it? And I think it does have quite a large user base. I haven't used it myself, but I think it's something if you've got content, and I just think it's really hard to get going on a platform like Instagram. I think you said, but you've had some examples that come on your radar where people have got a lot of success on Instagram. So maybe you can look at Instagram, but also look at Snapchat as well.
Well, the average demographic for Snapchat is between 13 and 34 years old. You name somebody in the US that's between 13 and 34 that owns a home. It's not really where I would go to find our users for residential real estate marketing. Now, having said that, India has the largest number of Snapchat users, followed by the United States. Snapchat is a interesting concept, and not to be dismissive, it shouldn't be dismissed, because newer, younger people become older and it's not very focused on. I think that for me, the recommendation would be, hey, listen, if you are a bleeding edge technology user and you happen to just have gotten your real estate license and you're new and you're young and you're looking for an edge over other people, I would say, why not try Snap? Because there's very likely very, very, very few realtors trying to do anything on there. And just because I'm saying, hey, I don't get how the application would be. We had a TikTok guy on here a long ass time ago, and he was already making money on TikTok. I'm sure he's probably made like 50 to 100 sales off TikTok.
I agree with you, and I don't agree with you. I really think it depends where you are. If you're in LA, and you're the type of person you described, I think it's worth a punt. If you're in Portland, if you're in Seattle, if you're in a major city, it might be worth looking at to see if you could get an audience. And, you know, there are a group of people in LA that are in their early 30s that got a lot of money. There's a lot of people in LA that haven't got two halfpennies to rub together. It just depends, doesn't it?
It does just depend. And you're not wrong about the demographic. And so, you know, we leave it up to you. I respect the opinion. Snap wouldn't be the first place that I would go most of the time. However, if I was in the circumstances I was describing to you and I was looking for an edge, I absolutely would look at Snap, because all the channels that we talk about at this point, because we and everybody else has been talking about them for so long, they're established. Even on YouTube now, I'm noticing there's competitors in most cities. It didn't used to be that way. It is that way now. Instagram is very saturated. So's like almost every platform we talk about. It's not a new idea. Snap, that might be different. I'm glad you put it on the list. Certainly something worth thinking about. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap it up. That's our show for today. We deeply appreciate you joining us. Before we go any further, I'm going to drop this idea in your hat. If you're listening to the show, hey, listen, John and I both do free consultations. Yes, we want to sell you stuff, but only if you need it. Take advantage of the fact that you can find some guys that know a reasonable amount about the subject of marketing. And if you don't know a reasonable amount, you should reach out to one or the other of us and ask a few questions. Marketing is one of those places where make a mistake and you could tank your year. Whereas a few more conversations might at least help steer you in the right direction. So having said that, John, if somebody did want to, let's say, reach out to you, how would you like them to do that?
Oh, you need to go on Snapchat. No, I didn't do that. Just go to the mail-write.com website and you can book a free chat with me. It's right in the top navigation. Or you could use Telegram to get hold of me, maybe. I don't know.
You could punt a little message on Snapchat to John.
What about you? I suppose it's Pinterest, isn't it, for you?
I turned off my Pinterest notifications for messages so long ago, I can't even remember when that was. Pinterest. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to reach out to me, do so at robert@inboundrem.com. You can go to inboundrem, that's the word, inbound, rabbitedwardmichael.com. And you can look at the about page or services pages. Not only are links to my calendar, but you can find out case studies and pricing of the services in case you're curious. If you're not, if you just want that free consultation, just email me at robert@inboundrem.com. I'll happily set up a chat with you. Just mention the podcast and I will do everything in my power to help you. All right. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, John. Take us offline.